Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode, we explore, expand, and evolve our understanding of the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity and exponential growth. And now welcome your hosts, Dr. Jeffrey Smith and Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Happy New Year. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. My name is Jim Case, and I'm super excited to be here with my good friend and amazing human being, Dr. Jeffrey Smith.
Oh, happy New Year to you, Jim, and everybody else listening to you.
Hi, everybody.
Yes.
So this is somewhat impromptu in that we were having some dialogue off air, and dialogue had to do, we were talking about my trust issues, that recognizing that there's a pattern of behavior happening as an evolution from an observation that was given to me a few months back about not loving myself enough, and that some of the frustrations and things that I've been experiencing is not embracing that. And so it was confusing to me for quite a while because I couldn't see the obvious part. Like I couldn't see it obviously. Like I'm really good about self-care. I'm good about staying in balance. I'm good about honoring myself and other people and honoring people's spaces. And so, you know, I feel like I'm very conscientious and very engaged in that being trustworthy, you know, being the guy that if somebody says this is going to, if I say oh, this is going to happen, it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, there's going to be follow-up to tell you why it didn't happen. But that's just kind of, so it was really confusing to me to get that feedback. And so I thought, okay, she doesn't say things lightly. I'm gonna just sit with this for a bit. And so since then has been this sort of nonstop progression of incidents where I'm being confronted with the apparency is I can't trust anybody because they're not gonna do what they say they do. They're not gonna do what they say they're gonna do. They're not gonna show up like they say they're gonna show up. So I've been observing these situations where that energy has shown up and watching myself go through the machinations of that process, which is not fun and not pretty. But a part of it for me is when I have a conflict in my life, I always want to try to find a win-win solution in it. Meaning I understand that if I'm having a reaction, it's my reaction and it's my issue. And there may be behavior that's not great happening on the other end, potentially or not, but ultimately it's my responsibility to manage my own energy. So I want to make sure that I'm, you know, when I'm having that, is this really legitimate? Is it really useful? And if I can't come to a win-win in the end result, I'll either not talk about it or I'll I won't typically talk to the person until I feel like I have that clean, because I don't want to go to the conversation in blame. I don't want to go to the conversation in, you suck, you did this, why did you do this, what did I do to you, to all the, you know, the trash that is of no value in the conversation. And getting to a place of ownership about what I'm doing in my own energy and sharing that, because I think it's of value and I think it helps with what we were talking about, my frustration, which it does, you know, what's the point in talking about it when it doesn't change behavior? You know, so if I'm having an issue, I was using the example of my brother, and I share with him what my issue is, it feels better that I shared it, but in the end, it's likely not going to change anything. It's not going to change his behavior. It's not going to change anything. And so I'm stuck with get over it.
Right. And also you could use the experience you and I had in the last couple of days about me not being able to follow through with something that I actually initiated with you.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And that was, it may be me shirking the responsibility, but I don't see how I could have either known that or done anything else about it in any other way than I did. And nor do I want to be mindful in the future of before I ever tell you I'm going to connect with you at a certain time. I've got to know there's Wi-Fi in this location that I'm driving to, right? I mean, that would just be come on. It's not that important, right? No,
exactly. Exactly. And that was another huge epiphany in these situations that keep showing up is the end of the sentence is, it's not that important. But the energy that I have generated in this process seems to make it seem like it's important. So I'm like, okay, why the intensity? What is it that's driving this? And then as you and I were talking offline, one of the things we tapped into is this is worthiness but what I really tapped into was a trust issue. And maybe it's all part of the same ball of yarn in a certain extent, but how it shows up for me is I can't trust even the people I'm closest to. I can't trust them because they don't follow through. They don't keep their agreements. And so there's an element of me taking it all very personally when it had nothing to do ultimately with me, like our situation. You didn't not respond because it was me. You did not respond because circumstances were such that it was impossible to do that without a whole lot of extra energy that didn't need to be expended in that circumstance. Now, of course, I could have no way of knowing that, but why do I err on the side of the negative viewpoint instead of erring on the side of the positive viewpoint? And yeah, that's where the trust issue is. So what brought this full circle was, okay, what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling is I'm having a trust issue with Jim. And I'm like, whoa, okay. I have to own it because it's obviously there. It's obviously being reflected all over my life.
It's happening.
It's happening everywhere from the dog to my husband to my closest friends to my family. It's happening everywhere. So Jim can't trust himself. Why? I don't know the answer to that question yet. It obviously has to do with something about taking things personally.
Sure. There's a couple of points I'd like to try to make just to catch up and
please
add some breadth or depth, either one. You know, we have this saying that the external and the internal are mirrors of each other. Mm-hmm. So our external world is a direct reflection of our internal world. And that's a well-held, well-taught principle of life around the planet. And that's what you're talking about right now. When you say, I can't trust them, this particular principle is asking us to direct that back inside and say, what is it about me that I cannot trust that's showing up in them? Right?
And in a way that I would never act. That's the part that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, beyond that, I'm sorry, interrupting.
But the issue isn't necessarily the activity or the action or the communication or showing up or keeping your word or any of that sort of thing. That sounds to me like sometimes when people try to do dream analysis, they get stuck on the details rather than the meta meaning of the dream.
Yes.
So if we could just agree on if the external world is creating a state of upsetness to you, mm-hmm. if the external world is creating that for you, it's because that's the same thing that's going on the inside.
Yes.
Not the details, those specific details may not be exactly what's going on inside, but if the outside is creating a condition that the inside is relating to, that's the upsetness of it. And then you're like, okay, now that I'm upset, universe, you have my attention. And that's the piece that we generally don't do. We generally don't go, oh, goody, it's school time right now. I'm fucking mad as hell. School is in session. Yay.
Yeah, right.
But what if we could learn to do that?
Yeah.
Because we're actually not going to solve it. If your brother could be a better brother to you, if I could avoid ever going into another dead spot again, that won't actually solve the real issue that you are willing to be brave enough and bring up tonight, which is one of the things I'm going to keep saying as long as it happens that I admire so much about you, is that you're willing to be so transparent. And I really believe that that's what the attraction is to anybody that's listening to this podcast, is to listen to a couple of guys be willing to get transparent and try to make some kind of heads or tails out of all this. So I really love and admire you for being willing to just say, okay, let's hit the record button and go and talk about real stuff.
And as you're saying that, I feel as I'm listening to you and you're reflecting it back, inside I'm going, oh my God, seriously, Jim? Like there's this internal dialogue of like, really? You're upset over a dead zone. Seriously? You're upset over some words that were said that somebody was trying to be nice. And so I'm saying that because I'm watching it and I'm going, now this is going in a completely bizarre place because, okay, yeah, oh, all right, I'm exposed. Okay, I'm a human being that does dumb shit. Okay. Well, but at the same time, that's kind of, I don't want to get off the focus here.
Well, some of the meta communication, the meta issue of when I either text you earlier in the day and said, I'm going to be driving out to wherever we went, Joshua Tree. And my intention was we have some important things to talk about. And I think I'll be able to do that. I'm hoping I'll be able to do that when we get there, not knowing I wasn't going to be able to.
Right.
So here's the idea that, oh, here's a guy that thinks that what we're doing together is important. So our ego goes, oh, I'm important. This is important. I'm going to set time aside. I'm going to wait for this call. And Jeff is usually a guy that if he says he's going to be there at 2 o'clock, it's usually pretty damn close to two. Right. And so I can trust this, right? And so then when it didn't happen, you're like, damn, he's one of those guys that says something and doesn't do it.
That's what goes on in my head. I mean, I try very hard not to, I mean, as soon as I even sniff that, I seek to go a different direction because I know it's not useful or logical, but it's there. I mean, it's definitely there. And it's definitely a history thing. You know, that there has been this juncture, it seems like, with all my significant relationships where that happens for whatever reason and it stimulates this whole trust thing. But what I seem to keep missing is that it's me judging that I'm not trustworthy because I keep picking these people. Except I didn't pick them. I mean, like, I guess I did, but I mean, when I say I didn't pick them, I mean, like, my brother is my brother, you know. I did pick them actually because my spouse is my spouse and you know my friend and my podcast partner is my friend and my podcast partner, but there is that sense of I'm not sure where that goes. It just this sense.
Let me jump in here because I think I got some good hits on this. So let's say because you're talking metaphysically, you picked us prior to your incarnation. You picked us prior in some way. This was planned or ordained. It's not just random and just happening. So let's say that somehow I got the download through a guardian angel, a spirit guide, a higher self, and so did your brother, that through love, by showing up inconsistently for you, that this will drive you to a state of being upset enough that here we are now talking about it, and we're getting some insights and some revelation into my worth and value don't change, no matter whether Jeff calls me or not, no matter whether my brother stops by or not. I'm still lovable, valuable, important, worthy, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. And to me, that's the part that's so beautiful about this is you could see instead of not liking those people, they're actually doing that in love. It's just a funny way of bringing it to your attention. But that's what lessons are. It's like we pay attention to things, hopefully not too many times before the learning happens and we finally get the upload going, oh, I'm actually creating this. So at a point where the lesson is learned and we stop creating it, I don't go to dead zones for vacations any longer because I don't need to. Does that make sense? Like I don't need to have that happen to me so that it doesn't show up that way for you because whether I call you or not, you're still knowing you're important. The work we're doing is important. I'm not being disrespectful. All those sorts of things that
Well, that's where a lot of the conflict lies because I know all that. It's just like the house thing we were talking about.
You know it, but do you know it? Right?
Apparently not.
You know it, but do you know it? I don't know if people can see what I'm doing.
He's touching.
I don't know, right?
Yeah. So, do you know it or do you experience it? Probably
yeah.
A good way to to say that? And that's a really good question. Because everything you said, I feel like is natural to me. I mean, I think I'm a very involved and engaged and you know, all of that. So where I was going a minute ago was this, the same dialogue we were talking about earlier with the house, because I had recognized recently that, as a tangent to this, that there was this, that part of the idea that we are creators is that that's where our energy should be. All of our focus should be in the creating process, whatever that looks like. And what I was finding is that I was having these desire and this dream to create this wonderful home with Michael and I, and to get to buy a house. It's something he really wants. We want to have a couple dogs. I mean, there's a whole thing to it, and we're really into it. And at the same time, in a parallel universe, which isn't parallel, I would have this whole process of, oh my God, I don't know if we should do this, and the money and the taxes and the, you know, this and this, and we have to pay for everything, and all of a sudden realized all of that is complete nonsense, because the house doesn't even exist yet. So why am I trying to put all of that negative experience into my creation? I don't want it in my creation. So stop putting energy there. Stop focusing there. Don't, you know, if the mind wants to go there, thank you very much, but I'm over here creating, and I'm not creating that. I'm creating what I want to create. So there's this evolution of this idea of, okay, do I not trust myself enough? I mean, how many examples do I need to show myself that when I focus in my desire and I'm truth about it, it always shows up in amazing and powerful and extraordinary ways, and not just once or twice, all the frickin' time. So where's the trust issue? Is it a trust issue that what I know is that I can't trust my personality? Is that what's going on? And I'm focusing too much there. So similar to the house, I can put my attention in this. Oh my God. I can put, this is really, sorry guys, I'm having a moment here. Bear with me. The choice, the duality exists in order to clarify the choice. I don't know if that makes sense. So the duality that I have been in for probably 2 or 3 years now, that I have talked about, that I've experienced, that I've been confused by, that has kind of topsy-turvied things in my whole world in a really useful and positive way. The place that I kept coming to in that was, I don't understand how you can live in this duality all the time. This is hell. This doesn't feel good, because in 1 hour I'm on the moon about this exciting new house, and on the next hour I'm frustrated about this new house that doesn't even exist yet. Why put the energy there? So the duality of the soul and the personality, maybe the whole idea is at some point you have to choose. And the choice is, do I choose the soul focus or do I choose the personality focus, and stop fucking with both of them? And what I keep doing that's not loving myself is I keep fucking with both of them, thinking there's something useful there, and there's not. There is nothing useful there. All it does is creates upset in my world and forces me to have conversations that are unnecessary, in the sense that they're not going to change anything. So why not put the focus where the focus needs to be, which is for me and my desire and my whole being of existence is about soul embodiment. That's really what I'm here. That's, you know, what I strive for all the time. And what happened a minute ago, guys, if you're listening, is there was a huge emotional, I have these things that I experience when processing sometimes, where when the clarity comes, it's a visceral, full body, every cell in my body is going, and the emotion is intense, because the release is it's pretty fucking awesome.
It's beautiful, Jim. It's very beautiful.
So I hope that all made sense, but that was what piece of clarity just showed up for me.
Can we do a couple other examples for, because this is really important and powerful. So I'm wondering if we could maybe use a couple other examples of how people could get caught up in the duality of something that's happening. And then, like you said, the duality shows up as a way to give clarity, but then you have to make a choice. So it's like, I want to, and this is silly, so stop me if you have a much better one or much clearer, but I have this idea that you want to go to the beach. You want to go to the beach and put a beach towel out, lay down and get some sun. So you put some, oh gosh, you can't put sunscreen on because it's going to cause cancer. And then the sand is going to stick to the sunscreen and I'm going to get sand in my car, right? So that's the, like the negative duality, or am I going to find a place to park and it's really hard and everything. But when you're there at the beach, it's just like, oh, this is bliss. I know exactly why I'm here. I can hear the waves, the seagulls, everything is just perfect. Thank you, God, for making this and letting me be a part of it. Oh God, how long is it going to take to get back to the car? And am I going to have to go to the car wash? You know, like a month later, you're still vacuuming sand out of the carpet or that sort of thing. Yeah. Is this any, I know that that's nothing like what you just got to experience.
It's a perfect example, actually, because to the way I was describing it. So what prompted the beach was this desire, whether it was for the negative ions, the sun, the whatever, something in your energy needs that time. So the way I would translate that, because that is exactly what would go on in my world, I would have this think about, oh, geez, it'd be good to go to the beach. And then it'd be like, oh my God, why would I do that? You know, you got a park, you got, oh my God. And you can ask Michael, that conversation happened more than once, in some form or another. But to your point, it's exactly right on, because if I stay focused in the desire, which is, this is something I need right now because my energy's craving whatever that is. If I stay there, everything else will be fine. Parking will be fine. It won't matter how busy it is. Things will work out. Parking space will open. It'll be an ease and flow situation because my energy is staying in what I'm seeking without trying to control it or manage it or anything else. It's just that's going to feel awesome. I can't wait. I want to feel that. I want to experience that. I need that release, whatever that is. I need to clear my head. I need to find a little more balance, whatever it is that drew that initial energy. The duality is that, exactly as you described it, that personality that wants to jump in and give you all the feedback about what a pain in the ass it's going to be to do that thing. Thinking that it's doing something useful, but it's not. So in the duality of it is keep the focus on getting to the thing and just go with that energy. And when you do, it always works out. From my experience, every single time, not just sometimes. But when you start to allow that other noise to come in, when you start to allow that other noise to come in, it greatly influences and diminishes the energy of that thing.
Sure.
And so you may get some out of it, but you're not getting the maximum out of it because you've siphoned off however much energy you siphoned off into the personality running all of its nonsense. And this has been another burning underlying question for me. And actually, Moshe and I were talking about this yesterday even. And I found myself running into walls where I would be following a thread and then I couldn't, it would just vanish because it wasn't real. It was understanding that there is a point that you have to choose. Cause I kept thinking, I guess it never gets better. Like it gets better because the experiences are so incredible, but the noise doesn't ever change. Like, why doesn't the noise ever change? You know, this is for the last 2 years. It's like, I don't have to focus there. So I try not to, but sometimes the noise is loud and sometimes I get caught up and I'm over there focusing and I'm like, how did I get here and why am I here? And suddenly now I'm in duality again.
Right.
And I'm seeing this and I'm seeing this at the same time.
Right.
I'm not choosing not to attend that.
When Jung talked about the collective consciousness as well as the collective unconsciousness, solar flares are a thing. And there are some people on the planet that are much more affected by solar flares. They get tinnitus. They can, their energy changes with solar flares. Mm-hmm. So I'm using solar flares as a real thing that some people really do feel. I believe that there are other people that can really feel the collective consciousness of society about everybody going to the beach at some point. Driving there is most likely thinking, how hard is it going to be to find a parking spot? And how hard will it be to get my shit from the car to the sand, from the sand back to the car? And everybody's thinking that. Even the people that are already now at the beach and they're in bliss, that thought was out there. That energy was out there. And we're driving through that, getting there. And I do believe there are some of us that are more sensitive to all of that.
I agree.
It's like we can't not hear it. It's like right now, try to not hear this. try to not hear it. You know, some people are like, what the hell is that thumping sound? Stop that. That's awful. Right? Because they're more sensitive to it, right?
Yeah. that's a really good point. And the point being that it's still a choice. And it's important to recognize that that can get really loud. And what I apparently, the trust issue that has created is that, oh, wow. The trust issue exists because of the vacillation between the soul and the personality and playing in that no man's land of duality.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no other solution there. And so what happens is that when I really need to harness my forces, I can go there and I can stay there in order to focus and resolve a situation or find a solution. But if I'm not there yet and I drift, it takes longer to get there because I have to unravel myself from all of that mind trash to get back to center so that I can then move to a more positive place. Because again, there are times in that personality space where it's not pretty at all. I mean, it's a vibrational shithole. And you can't get from there to connect to the soul in one jump. You know, if you've indulged yourself into the shithole, you got to work your way back to neutral so that then you can, here I am. Here is the world. Everything always works out for me. Let's shift back over to what I know. And so, yeah, this is so great. This is so powerful. I'm glad that I didn't listen to the voice saying, I get it, but it's not showing up the way, it's not showing up as obviously as it seems like. Because that was a difficult place for a minute there and went, yeah, no, it's not here, but I get there's something. So I'm going to explore that more, I think, hopefully from the soul perspective, but understanding that how that duality creates that lack of trust.
Right.
Because it's, no, people are shitty. People will do shitty things. And I'm not saying you're shitty. I'm just saying people will do things that because circumstances are what they are. You know, I wasn't in my brother's car when he was driving back from the airport. I don't know, you know. He could have not slept for 18 hours and just didn't want to deal with anything. You know, I'm not in the car. I wasn't in your experience. I was only on the outside of the experience. So anything, just like the house doesn't exist. So how can you make up stories about something that doesn't exist? Well, you can make them up, but it's not doing anything to further my cause of buying a house. So stop doing that. It's not contributing anything. And that's the continuing message. This mashing around in the personality isn't accomplishing anything. It's a spin. It's a spin cycle and it'll just keep going and going and going and going. And it's the same spin that I've been listening to since I was a teenager. I mean, it's the same story. It's the same spin, just new circumstances and different people.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, that doesn't serve anything. So stop putting energy where it's not, where there's no resolution. Go back to where the resolution is, which is going to that higher vibrational place, connecting to the soul, because that's what's going to present the win-win every single time.
Right. As you were talking about personality versus soul, just for other people that may not have heard other podcasts we've done, I'm hearing you use the word personality synonymously with ego. Is that yes, fair? Correct.
Ego. Probably ego better. Yeah.
And one of the things we know about the ego, we know a bunch about the ego, but it's primarily responsible for protecting us, and it believes in limited resources. So it doesn't see...
Because it is a limited resource.
Yes. It's a one-off, one-time wonder. One-hit wonder.
One-hit wonder that wants to be significant.
So that's the only way it can see something. So it's not going to get to the beach and go, oh, this is so amazing. I feel so connected with everything around here. It's only going to see the pain in the ass part of the whole thing.
If that's where you keep your attention, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And what I'm recognizing is that I have, this is the, I think you and I were talking about it earlier, where it was like, well, what's the point? Because in the end, nothing's changing.
Yeah.
Except me. And what changes is I don't have to indulge that energy, which doesn't feel good. I can stay in an energy of recognizing that all is well. And if it's not well, I'll find out where it's not well, but I don't have to dwell in it to find it. If there's nothing not well, then resolution and answers will show up and it'll all be fine and it'll all be good. And it is when you leave it there. And even if it's not, it's resolvable. Because if you're staying in the other side, if you're staying in that soul connected side, then you're not going to have the judgment. You're not going to have the blame. You're not going to have all those negative energies infiltrating the situation. And the individual who may be having a thing or may not, you know, like with my brother, it may be a total nothing burger, you know, that it wasn't about me and it wasn't about not seeing me and it wasn't about not stopping to see us. It was whatever was going on in his world that had nothing to do with us.
Right.
Which is, I got a dog. I got a girlfriend I haven't seen in 2 weeks. I'm tired. I flew from Spain. I want to go home. You know, it's like there's all of that. And here's the little ego wanting to go, but what about me?
So one of the ways that that could also be shifted to the positive is you have a brother that stated an intention that you are important enough to him that he had intended to want to connect with you.
Excellent.
And that's what we're hoping will happen. The ego hears that as, oh, I've got an appointment and we'll schedule this and he'll be here at this time and we'll do these events and blah, blah, blah.
Won't it be great if that happens?
Yeah. Yeah. And because he loves me, he wants it to happen, you know? And
yeah. And so that is where we started this, which is that is the continued focus in the creation. That is continuing to further the idea of creation, because all of that is positive possibility that exists. And maybe none of that positive possibility comes to fruition in the way that it's seen, but all you're doing is creating positive energy toward the situation. So regardless of what happens, my energy is stable. My energy is in a space of balance, and whatever it is doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And if it does, they'll present it, he'll present it in a way that may solve something, may not, but doesn't matter. Cause I'm not thinking that the step is, I'm not living in a personality or in an ego that's saying, I'm unimportant. I'm not worthy. Why don't you love me? I'm in a world that says I love me and I'm excited that you're going to love me back and that we're going to get together, and that togetherness may happen when you say it does, or it may happen later than it says it does, or it may happen over the phone, but in any case, it's going to happen in some form.
Right.
So let's just wait. Let's just anticipate the enjoyment of that. he said last time he was coming and he didn't, and he made plans with me before and he didn't show up. And I don't know if I can trust that he's going to do this. And I don't know that, you know, blah, 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 blah. And all of that just takes away from the joy of the next encounter.
Yeah. I just got a hit on one of the elements of trust there, Jim, that I believe will be helpful for all of us to remember, is that if I learn to trust that my worth and my value never change. It doesn't matter what happens or doesn't happen. I can trust that I am worthy, lovable, valuable before the event, during the event, after the event, or if the event never even happens, that my state of worthiness and lovability, acceptability, value is a constant. And to prove my point, there are so many actresses, actors, musicians that we've seen go from anonymity to fame and have millions of loving, adoring fans, and they still hate themselves inside, these actors and very, very famous people. How do we know that? Because of how they're treating themselves, what their activities they're involved with, substances they're using, behaviors that are destructive. So their worth and value, they thought, was going to go up because, whoa, everybody thinks I'm amazing, except I don't think I'm amazing. I mean, wow, I can act. I can go like this and make strings vibrate, and I can open my mouth and amazing sound comes out. But that's not who I am. That's what I can do. People love what I can do. And somehow we're thinking if people can love what I do, they'll love me, and that will make me lovable. No.
No.
No. Doesn't work that way.
Well, and I want to add another level to that I think is extremely important that we've been talking about here, and that is understanding that you can't get there in the ego. You cannot get there. So
right.
if you're staying in trying to solve this through the ego, even in Jeff's example, it's nothing but pain, because you're never going to find that state of worthiness in the ego. It's not going to happen. You're not going to find that state of trust in the ego. It's not going to happen. It's not designed for that. That's what the larger part of us is about. That's what the soul is about. So again, like everything comes back to what we do on a daily basis, but it comes back to understanding that all of this requires this shift in consciousness. It requires this choice. You know, I feel at this point, having had this conversation, I feel immensely fortunate that I get to be in a place that I get to make this choice consciously, that I get to see it for what it is, and I get to go, oh, it's just a choice. It's not a drama. It's just a choice. I'm not denouncing my personality. I'm not denouncing my ego. I'm putting my energy where I want it to be so that the ego serves me,
right,
not the other way around. And when I say me, I mean self, capital S self, the God self. I want that. That's what has been my goal since I started Higher Brain Living 6 years, 8 years ago, whatever it was this integrated being that, and the challenge has been, why is that noise still so noisy? You know, like I know, you know, you read Autobiography of a Yogi lately, recently. And there are many books in that vein, or, you know, in that sort of arena that all talk about this very thing, in probably in a little different language, but this idea of the duality and how they, but they never talk about how it goes quiet, because they all seem to get to a place where there's no noise. At some point, they get to a point of the noise is no longer even, but my question is it really that it doesn't go, that it goes away, or is it just that they're not focused there? That the noise is still there all the time and they just don't pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's the annoying fly in the room that you lose interest in paying
attention to. And so over time you build that muscle and suddenly you don't have to put a lot of energy in it, because the predominant focus of your energy is into the soul. And so there's no reason to be anywhere else. And apparently this spot for me is about choosing that wholeheartedly and consciously and saying, yeah, that's where I want to be. And so now I've already been practicing it because I've been watching it. So I've been seeing my ego wanting to go down these trails and me saying, yeah, no, that's not the solution. It's got to be somewhere else, but then getting stuck in the duality. But if I do that, what then what? Which is a very clever ego trying to once again say, yeah, but have you really thought this through? And the answer is yes. And that's a pretty remarkable thing. And
yeah. I'm being inspired to just maybe do a teaser for our next podcast or in the next, that is a spinoff from this one, to be a direct connection, would be the level of discomfort, level of being upset, whatever you want to call it, irritation, agitated, it all fits into the bigger category of pain in some way, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain. And the soul spirit is all about, it knows that all that the genesis of pain is fear, and the soul spirit's not afraid. It's been here many times, going to come back many times. So if we really understand that fear is driving all of this at some level, mm-hmm. we can make the shift. And the ego is amazing for dealing with danger and things that it believes could happen again that we call fear. Yeah. Fear is simply a projection of an imagined danger that has not yet happened. So that might be where we find ourselves going in the future if we're wanting to get to a place where, like the yogis and the masters who have learned to ignore the fly in the room, is that they realize there is nothing to be afraid of ever about anything.
Yep.
And even you know, with some of what William Kant or Immanuel Kant and William James, the very original psychologists that we give credit to anyway, and Freud picked up on, and Jung picked up on, and Rogers has said, you know, at an unconscious level, we're all afraid to die. Mm-hmm. But there is no sting in death. And to be absent of the body and present with the Lord is really kind of what we're all in some way hoping for anyway, right? Getting back to that bliss place.
Exactly.
Anyway, that might be a little bit of a teaser for next time of how we can move in that direction to be more in that spirit space.
Love it. Do you want to take us home, or you want me to take us home?
Oh, let's see. No, go for it, man. I'll pick up any pieces that may leave.
So this has been an unexpectedly incredible conversation, because there was a different topic on the table, and my apologies if I usurped the topic of the day. It was not my intention, but anyway, here we are looking at the idea of what starts as an idea of lack of trust, which in the end is understood to me anyway as a sort of no man's land in the duality between the ego and the soul. And that it's very, trust does not live in the ego. Trust does not live in the space of the ego. That's not its job. It's not what it's designed to do. It's designed to keep the body on the planet. And in whatever way it does that, it wants to keep the body on the planet because it knows its life is limited. So it wants to do whatever it needs to protect that process along the way, and that's great, and that's what it should do. And me as a creator needs to be on the other side, needs to be encapsulated and embracing the soul at every level for answers, for direction, for understanding, for clarity, and letting that ego become a support mechanism that keeps the body vibrant, that keeps the engagement in life and keeps the world safe while the focus is on this ever expanding and evolving experience. And that was the great revelation for me tonight, which I'm still actually quite emotional of as I think about it. Because this has been a very long journey that's of course far from over, but to reach this level, this understanding of this process right now, is sun humbling, mind blowing, all of that. It's awesome. And I'm so grateful to you, Jeff, for saying, turn on the mic, you know, and just being here to navigate this. But for all y'all out there, it may sound complicated and it's really not. And we try to uncomplicate it so that you can take this message and see it in your own experience. And I think Jeff threw out some great examples of how it happens on a day-to-day experience. You know, you're going to the beach. And that's really how it was showing up in my world in all of my day-to-day stuff. And I was observing these interactions as I'm having them. and not understanding how am I in this such this negative place that I don't live in, that I don't like, that I'm not a part of normally.
Right.
And it is the result of indulging too much of the ego perspective. And because it is the root of the survival mechanism in a way, it's challenging to not pay attention to it because it sounds so addictive. It sounds so reasonable. It sounds so, and most of the time sounds so right. That's the key thing is, you know, I was laughing, thinking about my conversation and how I would approach this with you initially. In my head, it was all about, and you said the words yourself as we were talking about it. Wait, he contacted me. He texted me. He said, let's talk this afternoon. He had all this stuff going on and then boom, he's gone. You know, it was like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's if it just demonstrates so clearly how the duality works. On one side, I'm concerned because I haven't heard from him. And is my friend okay? He went off into the desert and they vanished. So that was the text I sent. Are you okay? And the other side of me is like, son of a bitch, what the hell? What did I do? Why am I getting treated this way? Why isn't you dump all this crap and you leave? What's the deal? Oh, it's the holidays. Oh, blah, 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 you know, and on and on and on it goes. And it has no relevance to anything. It's like I said earlier with the house. There's no relevance. The house doesn't exist yet. How can you have negative experience about stuff that doesn't exist?
That's good.
So it's an awesome conversation. We appreciate y'all out there. Jeff, I don't know if you have anything you want to throw in as a...
Yeah, just a reminder that anytime we're upset, it truly is God's way or the universe's way, soul, spirit, higher self, whatever, however you see that happening, being upset, you're in class in that moment.
Yeah.
The lesson is sitting right, standing right, projected right in front of you. And this is something to actually get excited about because all the conditions that required bringing this to your attention are right there in the moment happening live right now. And it actually takes a lot of cooperation to pull all that together. So for us to start seeing that these moments when we're irritated, upset, resentful, bitter, yes, we could just shift straight into spirit, but we could also go deeper going, oh, this is going to show up again if I don't deal with it. And that was the trust thing. So I think at the end of all this, you could say, I now trust that my worth and value are a constant. They don't change based on the wind, the people, the brother, the partner, whatever. That my worth and value are set. And I am highly worthy, highly valuable love. I'm on the freaking planet. How much more data or how much more evidence do we need that we're here having this experience and that there's a lot that went into us being able to have these experiences? So anyway, I'm sorry I turned that into a little bit of a sermon, but just so we can learn to recognize that there is value to being upset if we actually push inside and say, I really want to understand the mechanics behind how I got here to this place of being upset. And then realizing there is a lesson here and I want to chew on it. I want to stay with it until I understand the lesson and the solution to the lesson. And that's one of the things that I have so much joy and pleasure in and gratitude for being able to have this venue to be able to share my experiences, skills, whatever. This is what I do. This is what I do. Enjoy being able to do this and being able to share it with other people is a real blessing.
Right on. Well, thank you all. Adventures in Truth podcast is starting 2020 with some major new amazing things going on. We're very excited about all of these transitions as we take our show to the next level. Actually, probably even more levels than the next one. But you can still find us at adventuresintruthpodcast.com, which is where you'll find all of the audio of all of our podcasts. You can check us out on YouTube if you want to see us in action. Those are videos of the podcast. And we look forward to connecting more and look forward to more information from us as this wonderful amount of change and explosion of growth takes place. So thank you all for being here. We love and appreciate you very much and have an amazing rest of your day.
All righty. So long, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. If you would like to listen to more or to explore all our offerings, visit us on the web at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. We also offer video versions of our podcast. Visit our page on YouTube at Adventures in Truth Podcast. We would love to hear from you. Like, connect, and follow with us on Facebook. Want to book us for your next podcast or to speak at your event? Head over to our webpage at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com at the bottom of the page and send us a note. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you again at Adventures in Truth Podcast.